How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 129 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder. You can subscribe to the podcast there. Leave a review once you're on that page, too, and find us on audioboom.com. Log on to normantranscript.com. Check out my blog, Thunder Road, while you're on the site. It's under the sports tab right there on the site, and you can find all my Thunder coverage on that hub. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Welcome back. Hope you had a fun weekend. The Thunder have the Jazz on Monday. We didn't miss any games. Normally in our time off, we miss some games. We didn't miss any games. The Thunder still haven't played since Wednesday night, 5 days between games, which is like a weird eccentricity of the January schedule. The Thunder are technically on the fifth game of a six-game road trip, but it doesn't really feel like a road trip because they played Golden State. They played at Golden State on Wednesday. They started off this road trip 1-3. They lost at Minnesota. They won at Sacramento. They lost at the Clippers, and then they lost at the Warriors. Normally on a road trip, you're staying on the road. That's the whole point of the road trip. But they actually went home after the game on Wednesday because of this long break. They went home. They took off Thursday. They didn't practice. They practiced Friday morning. They practiced Saturday morning. They practiced Sunday morning. They headed out to Utah. They actually took an earlier than usual flight. Normally they practice around 11. They end up taking like a 3 o'clock flight when they're in those situations. 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, something like that for the flight out. They took a noon flight on Sunday because they wanted to watch the AFC and NFC championship games, and they flew out to Utah early. So they practiced early morning, not early morning, but they practiced at 9:30, which is earlier than usual. It was the earliest Thunder practice of the year. I don't think they've practiced before 9:30, although they did have an early shoot around. They had a 9 o'clock shoot around for one game. Forget which one. They shot around 9 o'clock in Sacramento. So that was early, but it was the earliest actual non-game day practice of the year. Then they headed out to Utah. So they got Utah on Monday. They got New Orleans on Wednesday before they come home for their first home game in more than 2 weeks when they play Dallas on Thursday. Utah's real good. They're really, really good. Winners of 6 in a row. They're 29-16 on the year. Tied for 4th in the West. I mean, you can make an argument the Jazz are a top 5 team right now. Cleveland, Golden State, San Antonio, Houston in some order. Golden State won. Then you got your Cleveland, San Antonio, and Houston in there. And then Utah has the argument there. I mean, the Clippers are really good. Toronto's really good. But the Clippers have the injuries, so they fall out. Toronto's really good, but they're inconsistent, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Jazz are really well-balanced. I mean, especially if they're healthy. Like, they haven't really been healthy, but especially if they're healthy. They're number 2 in defense right now. They're a smidgen. The Warriors are number 1 in points allowed per possession and number 1 in points per possession, which is just crazy. They'd be the first team to do that. I think the 96 Bulls were number 1 in offensive rating, number 1 in defensive rating. I think they'd be the second team ever to do that if that held up. But the Jazz are like 3/10 of a point behind Utah, or behind Golden State in defensive efficiency. They're right there, the number 2 defense in the league, the number 9 offense. They're one of only a handful of teams that are top 10 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. They're there. Golden State is obviously there. I think the Clippers still remain there. San Antonio's there. I think that's actually it for all those teams, unless I'm forgetting somebody. Quick Steven Adams update. His status as of the time I'm recording this. I'm recording this late Sunday night. His status as of the time I'm recording this is uncertain. He's obviously got the concussion that he suffered a little more than a week ago now. That was against Sacramento in that win on December 15th. He's missed 2 games now. He missed the game at the Clippers. He missed the game at the Warriors. He actually didn't even attend the Warriors game. Took a flight home from Los Angeles to go back to Oklahoma City. He is with the team in Utah, though. That's a positive sign. Obviously, we don't know what that means in terms of his status. He's going to show up at shoot around on Monday morning, and they're going to see where he's at. They may not make a decision right there and then on if he's going to play or if he's not going to play. They may wait until, you know, a pregame and then turn him into a game time decision, because that's sometimes what they end up doing in these situations. But as of right now, uncertain game status for Steven Adams, and that's a big deal. It's always a big deal because he's the second best player, but it's especially a big deal because Rudy Gobert is really good. Rudy Gobert is really, really good. The Jazz are really good in pick and roll. Rudy Gobert, like that, he's an all-NBA player this year with the way he's playing. He's got a real good argument for defensive player of the year with the way he's playing, actually. With the Jazz's number two defense, with the field goal percentage. So shots that he contests at the rim, he's got the lowest field goal percentage allowed of anybody in the league for qualified attempts at percentage against win shots that he contests at the rim. He's been great this year defensively, and he's always been a great defensive player, but the way that he's playing this year, the way he's not just a rim protector, he can guard pick and rolls, and he can stray out, and he's a better offensive player than he used to be, too. He used to kind of be a nothing with the ball. That's not the case anymore. He's a good rim diver. He's a better screen setter than he used to be. He's more agile, I think. I should say he's more versatile as a screen setter. He's just better at it. He lays guys better. He's just so much better than he was even 2 years ago when he really came on and broke out and came on as one of the better defenders in the league. He's better now than he was 2 years ago. He's been excellent this year. He's a huge reason why the Jazz defense is so good. They give up a ton of shots at the rim, the Jazz, which is something you don't really expect to see from a defense that's so highly ranked because, you know, shots at the rim tend to be efficient shots at the rim. But the Jazz give up a ton of shots at the rim. A lot. Like, the shot selection that they allow is not the most efficient when you just look at a shot chart. Now, part of that is schematic. They realize they've got the guy who might be the best rim protector in the NBA, and because of that, they push guys into him. And, you know, Billy Donovan talked about it a lot leading into this game. Like, just because it's a shot at the rim, a shot at the rim against Rudy Gobert is not necessarily a good shot, even if it's a shot at the rim, because Rudy Gobert is there. Rudy Gobert is there, and that dude alters shots. He doesn't just block shots. He alters shots. He makes you uncomfortable. He makes you have to shoot out of weird, uncomfortable, unusual angles, and you have to contort your body, and you have to change your momentum. It's just tough. It's real tough. And Gobert is as good at that as anybody else in the league. And you can push guys into him, but, you know, like I just said, guys are shooting just a tick over 40%. At the rim when he contests their shot. It's the best defensive number in the league for him. He's number one in the league in that. There's a reason for that. That guy is so hard to finish over. He's the longest center in the league in terms of just his arms. He's an okay athlete. He came into the league. He didn't have a very good reputation as an athlete, but he's an okay athlete. Jazz have other guys too, though. I mean, look, Gordon Hayward is all-star good. He's having a great year. He's been efficient. He's scoring as well as ever. He really does a great job running their offense. He really does. He does an excellent job running their offense. And they've got a couple of guys who can do it. Look, he's done a great job maintaining with the fact that George Hill's been hurt, and George Hill's having a great year. The Jazz have won 15 of their last 16 when George Hill plays. And George Hill has had some injury issues this year, but man, that guy is so underrated. I can't believe that Indiana wanted Jeff Teague, and they give up George Hill and a pick so they could get Jeff Teague. George Hill right now is a better player than Jeff Teague is, straight up. And I was one of the few at the time who thought that George Hill last year, and I'm on the record of saying this, I thought last year that George Hill was a better player than Jeff Teague was because of the way he plays defense, because he's had a more consistent jump shot over the course of his career. And I think Jeff Teague's a good player. He's without question a good player. But George Hill, the way he's playing this year, I didn't see that coming. 45% three-point shooter and killer on defense. And, like, when he plays, this team is, at least from a record standpoint, it's elite. It's as good as, you know, it's a top-tier team. It's no coincidence that they've won six in a row right now, and it's when George Hill is healthy. He's scoring voluminously and often this year. He's doing it remarkably efficiently. And what's interesting is, He blossoms in that role when you have, so like Hayward handles the ball a lot and they play a bunch of guys. They basically play like a 10-man rotation with Quinn Snyder there. But George Hill really blossoms in that role where he can kind of play off the ball a little bit. And you can let that, you can let a ball dominant wing take over kind of off running the offense and ball handling responsibilities. That's part of why he was such a good fit in Indy. Why I thought he was a better fit than Jeff Teague was, because you could have Paul George handle the ball and initiate the offense and create offense for himself and for others. You could have George Hill act as a floor spacer, as is a guy who would make, he's not an amazing facilitator off the dribble or anything like that, but he's not a bad passer. Like, he's a good passer within the flow of the offense. He's just not going to isolate against somebody and then get you a three. Like, that's not the strength of his game. But if you've got, if he's basically your secondary creator in that sense, and with the Jazz, it's Gordon Hayward. With, you know, Indy, it was Paul George. If he's your secondary guy like that, like, that's perfect for him. And he's been handling the ball more in Utah. There's no question about that. But he's real good. Hayward's really good. They've got nice help off the bench. They've got a deep team. They've got versatile defenders. They've got long big men, and not just Gobert, but Derek Favors and Trey Lyles and Boris Diaw is long and more versatile defensively than he gets credit for, because I think people just look at his body type and think like, oh, he's just a fat guy that can't move. It's not the case. He's a versatile defender, even if he is getting a little bit more up there in age. Man, if Derek Favors doesn't need to make like a leap or anything. If Derek Favors could just play like he did last year, because Derek Favors had a down year this year. If Derek Favors could just play like he did last year, this Utah team could be so good. Like, this could be like a 700 team, I feel like, if they were healthy. Rodney Hood is hurt. Someone's always hurt. George Hill's been hurt. Rodney Hood's been hurt. Favors has been hurt. Gobert was hurt last year. Alec Burks, perennially hurt. Exum was hurt last year. Someone's always hurt with this team. Maybe that's just the way it's going to be. But Favors is playing now. He's getting 20-some-odd minutes a night. If he can just play the way he play, he can just be the player he was last year, 2 years ago. Man, this team will be so good. It's already really good. But it would be one, like, really, it's already, I think, maybe a top five team in the league. Could maybe vault a little bit better than that. Some Twitter questions. Or actually, you know what? I'm just going to do one Twitter question. I'll be honest. I usually go on Twitter and I put out a call and I'm like, all right, guys, Twitter questions for Locked On Thunder, send them my way. The takes for some of these Twitter questions tonight were scorching. Let me find these. Because some of these were, so we got, at what point do we bench Roberson for Morrow? Which is insane. What else we got? We got, why is no one addressing what Russ said at the end of the game against the Warriors? Which was like the don't say what's up to him. I don't know who no one is. We literally asked Enes Kanter about it. We've got, should the Thunder consider Rondo to add some much needed playmaking? What is going on with these takes, guys? What is happening? I know this is Twitter, but like, come on. These takes, I normally don't get takes this hot. Like, I couldn't read my Twitter because my eyes were burning. But I did get one from Gabe DeGroot, if I'm pronouncing that right. And I will answer that one. How will the Thunder play differently against Utah than they did last time? I know last time they did not have Oladipo. So last time the Thunder and Jazz played, the Jazz whooped them. That was middle of December, road trip, second night of a back-to-back. Utah won by 20. I think it was 109-89. Now, obviously, having Oladipo back is going to help them. Rodney Hood killed them in that game, and Rodney Hood is not going to play on Monday night, so that's obviously something. But George Hill didn't play when they last played, and George Hill is back now. So that's a little bit of a difference too, obviously. Here's what I think is the biggest thing. Russell Westbrook, for whatever reason, in that first Utah game, whether it was because it was the second night of a back-to-back and he was tired, whether it was because he didn't want to attack Rudy Gobert, which is possible because a lot of teams, players do this, he only took 6 shots at the rim. 25 shots. And he shot 7 of 25 in that game. 25 shots in 31 minutes. and only six of those shots were in the rim. He made half of them. So that leaves, what, four for 19 in the rest of his shots that weren't at the rim? I think Russell Westbrook is going to attack Gobert more in this game than he did in the last one. I think he's going to try to meet him at the rim more. Now, it's not always going to work out. Russell Westbrook doesn't have the highest percentage finishing at the rim. He also takes a ton of shots there, so it's going to go down a little bit more. But he's got the power and ability to be able to finish over Gobert a few times and maybe at least get Gobert in foul trouble. And I think that's something that the Thunder are going to do differently. I think we're going to see Westbrook go to the rim a little bit more. Oladipo did an okay job going to the rim in the Clippers game and the Golden State game, especially in the Sacramento game. Sacramento game, he was good going to the rim. Now, I don't know if that's a thing that's necessarily going to continue because he's just not really a penetrating player. He very rarely gets the ball and shoots himself at the rim. He's more of a jump shooter, just the way his style is, at least this year. That's just the way his style is right now. So I don't know if that's necessarily going to happen, but he's so athletic. I mean, this is an opportunity to try to use your athleticism. I think in Westbrook in particular, though, this is one of those cases where I think we're going to see him take more shots in the deep paint than we did last time. What was it? Less than a quarter of his shots last time from the deep paint. If I were a betting man, I would guess that's not going to happen this time. Remember, I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. Head on to iTunes, subscribe to Locked On Thunder once you're there. Questions, comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com or find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FredKatz. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs and check out my blog, Thunder Road. You can follow team coverage and see what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. Back with you tomorrow for a wrap-up of the Jazz game and all that stuff. And then I'll be leaving for New Orleans later in the day on Tuesday. So that's going to be, I guess I leave Tuesday morning for New Orleans. So that's going to be fun. I ate so much in New Orleans last time, so I think there's a decent chance. There's a decent chance that's going to end up happening again. I really hope they replenish their shrimp population that they have in New Orleans, because last time I just went nuts on the shrimp, and I think I'm going to end up doing that again. Until that Jazz wrap-up, Locked On Thunder is locking up.
The High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and oldnavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy.
Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.